Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com.
You press your luck. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com. And just a reminder, of course, we do have other podcasts available. If you want to hear all about toys and collectibles, you can listen to It Figures with Pixel Dan. Also, we have Rear Naked Radio with Scotty Cash and J-Raz, talking about everything going on in the world of MMA. But today we are here for Wrestling Radio, and we are talking about Friday Night SmackDown. Now, once again, we've got a pretty good SmackDown show going on tonight. We've got some really good matches early on, we've got a couple filler matches in the middle, and then we've got a hot main event at the end. So, definitely a show you want to check out tonight, and hey, if you don't want spoilers, then, turn the show off. But otherwise, here we go into the show. They announced first that Jeff and Ray are going to be taking on Jericho and Ziggler in your main event. And turns out it's a pretty good main event, but we'll get to that. They say that they're also going to have an interview with Edge tonight, coming back from surgery, his Achilles tendon surgery. It is quite possibly a career-ending operation. It could be one of those injuries you just never come back from, but they do have an interview with him tonight to talk about that. Jeff Hardy comes out to open the show. He plays a clip of CM Punk talking about Hardy's mistakes from last week. Jeff comes back and says that, he admits he made mistakes. He says he's not hiding from them. But regardless of what happened in his past, his future is that, of course, he's going to win at Night of Champions. And this, of course, brings out CM Punk. He says, congratulations, you said these problems are in your past. You haven't had a drug failure in a year. But, he said, not failing a drug test in a year is not really an accomplishment. He said, you're a joke. You admit that you failed your drug tests, but you say you never went to rehab. He says, who do you think you are? And Jeff says, of course, I'm the next champion. And Punk says, you don't get it. You come out here and you act like a hero to these children. But, you end up living this lifestyle that's just going to make you into another statistic. So at this point, Jeff attacks Punk, and Punk powders out of the ring. He says that he has a match next, so he's going to be the bigger man and back off. But, of course, at Night of Champions, he's going to tear him apart. We see a recap of John Morrison beating CM Punk from last week. And, of course, Punk attacking him after the bell. Out comes Morrison. This is a non-title match. The match starts out boring. Be quite honest, the crowd's not into it. It's really slow. One problem is there's a upcoming WWE pay-per-view this year where the only way to win is going to be by submission. I forget what it's called. No Escape or something. I don't remember. But regardless, they realize that they have to start getting submission moves over. So you're seeing a lot more, sleeper holds and bear hugs and, whatever random things they can throw in there so that you get more used to seeing them. So as we get nearer to the pay-per-view, you're going to understand that this is how matches have to end. And it's going to make a little more sense because the average person, you don't see a lot of those holds anymore. You see a lot of the high spots, the high-flying, high-impact spots. So they're throwing those back in and the crowd not really into that. These guys do some of those long spots, and then they eventually kind of work out of them, and then they're able to pick up the pace, throw in some more impact stuff, do a lot of reversals, really brings the crowd back into it. And then at the end, Punk goes for a Oklahoma roll, but Morrison is able to counter it and gets the three. So, Morrison, gets up, celebrates, puts his hand out, offers it to Punk, pick him up, shake his hand, whatever, and Punk instead rolls out of the ring, grabs his title, and sulks to the back. So, bad sportsmanship conduct, I guess, for him. Let's see. They had Layla come out with semi-poodle hair, kind of in between the poodle hair and the nice hair, but she comes out total face. She is dressed, they're in Miami, so she's dressed in the Miami Heat outfit. Apparently she used to be a cheerleader for them. She's talking about how great the Heat are. She used to be a cheerleader, and so she's going to do a cheerleader dance. The music, I'm not sure exactly where the music comes from that she was dancing to, but I think it was in Bust a Groove on the PlayStation 1. If you ever played that dance simulator game, I'm pretty sure that's where the music came from. Regardless, she dances for about a minute, and then Ricky Ortiz comes out. He's got little rally towels he's throwing to the crowd. He gets in the ring, and, you know, he says, nobody wants to see you dance. He says, you know, the heat suck. Gives her one of the rally towels and tells her to just rally up. And so she kind of looks at the crowd, and she does the rally thing, and nobody really cares. And so she kind of looks at him and drops the towel on the ground like it's, you know, my dirty underwear, and walks away from it. And, of course, he looks so hurt that she would drop his rally towel. And nobody in the crowd cared. Like, nothing. When she came out and she said, yay, the Miami Heat, and everyone was like, yeah, yeah, that's our home team. And then from that point on, no interest from anybody in the crowd. Crime Time then did their next Word Up segment. The word today was championized. And they had some football guy from the Arizona Cardinals, because I guess that's where next year's WrestleMania is going to be, at their stadium. And so he was there. They did, I don't know, some wacky stuff. Jesse showed up. And I mean, I hate the Crime Time segments. People comment that, you know, if it wasn't for Jesse, they would be completely worthless. Come on, he's funny. Yes, I will give you that. But you're talking four people in the segment, and only one of them is worth watching. So you do the math. I still hate these segments. Kane comes out for a match with R-Truth. I don't know why, but there it is. They do a recap of Kane's feud with Kali. Basically, him coming out of nowhere and attacking Kali with a chair for whatever reason. They show this, so I'm assuming this means Kali's going to do a run-in. But then I remember it's Kali, so he'll just kind of wander in at some point. Truth comes out doing his rap thing, whatever. Kane just lets him go, doesn't cut him off, interrupt him, anything like that. So they have, I mean, it's really okay. Rey Mysterio had a whole bunch of matches with Kane. I love Rey Mysterio. Everybody loves Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio goes out and has these great, exciting matches. But then you're just like, that's Kane. He sucks. He's slow. He meanders around the ring. Like, there's nothing exciting about what he does. So R-Truth, who has an interesting style, has personality, and has the opportunity to, you know, do something worthwhile on the show. You know, last week he did his Pretty Ricky sketch, and this week they put him in a match with Kane. And so it sucked. I mean, quite honestly, it sucked all the way through. Basically came down to the end where Truth was on the top rope, and he jumps off like he's going to do a double axe handle or something like that on Kane, and instead Kane kicks him in the face. Well, they say it was the face. Looked more like he kind of raised his foot up and caught him in the upper torso. Maybe he hit his chin. Regardless, they only showed one angle, and they tried to get it as much behind R-Truth, so you couldn't really see the foot at all. But looked pretty weak, looked pretty bad, but still R-Truth sold it. Kali's music then hit. Kali wandered down to the ring, and of course, Kali comes out, his music hits, they cut to the crowd, and there's, I swear, Stephen King, as a child, traveled through time into our present and became a Kali mark. I swear it was a young Stephen King standing in the crowd doing a little dance, guy in the row right in front of him asleep. It was amazing, the most amazing shot. Cuts back to Kali. He gets in the ring, and He's staring at Kane, and Kane basically runs out of the ring before Kali can get his hands on him. So Kane wins, but, you know, it's dead segment. I forgot. I actually left, R-Truth actually jumps on Kane while Kali is wandering down to the ring. And then when Kali gets in the ring, Kane gets out, so. Yeah, so R-Truth was able to get a kick in. Yay, good for him. But, I mean, in the long run, who cares? Because right after this, they do another Pretty Ricky spot. This time they're in Miami, so he's walking on the beach, talking to dudes who are hanging out, talking to people on tour buses who obviously can't hear him, talking to a meter maid. Completely pointless, not interesting. And since he's not a new character, I mean, it's obviously R-Truth wearing this you know, hillbilly gem teeth or whatever they are. You know, they're not debuting him like Kazarni or something like that, so I don't know why they're doing these segments with him, but sure enough, they're doing them. Next up, we have Heart Dynasty versus Crime Time and Eve in a six-person tag match. Probably the best match Heart Dynasty has had in a long time. Here's my big problem with Heart Dynasty is that, well, two things. All right, two. First of all, Harry Smith, D.H. Smith, he looks like a 5-year-old boy, you know. He's got the little dimples. He's got the British kid-looking face, you know. He looks like a child, and here he's supposed to be a heel. And he does not look menacing. He does not look terrifying. He does not look evil. He looks like, you know, just some stupid little kid. Worse than that, though, is that the three people here, what are they calling them? Tyson Kidd, D.H. Smith, and Natalya, are all related somehow. I'm not sure exactly how they're related, but they come down to the ring, and, you know, Natalya does her little, you know, bow thing, whatever, and Tyson Kidd and D.H. Smith both kind of, you know, gesture at her like, ooh, isn't she hot, you know? And it's like, you're freaking related. You guys are somehow flesh and blood relatives, and you're sitting there, like, pimping her out. It's, come on. It's just, oh, gosh. So anyway, of course, did the match with Crime Time, and I don't know. As far as the Heart Dynasty going, you know, they obviously work together well. They've, you know, I'm sure they spent a lot of time working together on the road before they, you know, made it all the way into development into WWE. But as good, they actually got a lot of time. They got the opportunity to work together, but still, overall, I'd say the match as a whole was not that great. Those guys look good, but the match itself was just kind of lacking. And I think part of that's just, you know, Crime Time, Shad just doesn't really fit into the mix. Eve looked pretty good. JTG is always solid, but Shad just, I don't know. He may be getting better, but he's nowhere near being good. Natalya ended up getting the pinfall. She hit a clothesline on Eve, while all the guys were basically, you know, they turned to a six-person brawl, and the dudes go to the outside, and she hits a tornado clothesline and gets the pin. So, Heart Dynasty wins. They show Dolph Ziggler backstage with Maria. He's like, you know, hey, I've got this match, I got to get going, and she stops him, asks him to flex. So he does the flex for her, and she kisses his bicep, and then watches him walk off towards the ring. So. Good for him, I guess. Next was their interview with Edge. They said that this was a satellite feed from Edge's house, and of course, Edge looked like he was sitting in the fake office they set up for Vince McMahon at every show. They had the bad lighting behind the camera, you know, to cast the random shadows on the wall behind him. He was sitting on that black leather couch that's in every shot. There was the fake potted plant on the end table next to him. It was so obvious that he was in that, you know, backstage taping room. This is the same room that Teddy Long would be sitting in if he was there at the taping, if they'd used him on the show. And instead, they were acting like this is Edge's house, live via satellite. Totally face here, again. Just like, you know, Layla coming out for no reason being face, this was Edge being totally face. Talking about, you know, he's tackled every obstacle that came in front of him. He's taken advantage of every opportunity he had. And now he's looking at this injury. It could be the end of the career, but he's going to fight back, doggone it, and he's going to be back in the WWE. They ask him about Jericho. They said, you know, Jericho said some harsh things about you on Raw. And he goes, you know, Jericho, and then he's cut off. Jericho's music hits. Jericho comes down to the ring, calls Edge just weak and a hypocrite and a Pharisee, and he says, you know, you're not going to get any sympathy from me. I don't care about these people. You don't care about these titles. You know, you're just saying that. He goes, at Night of Champions, I'm going to pick my new partner, and I'm going to continue to dominate in WWE. And of course, who is Jericho's new partner going to be? Of course, teasing Ziggler. Ziggler kind of fell into it, luckily. He does have a match with Rey, and I kind of get the feeling that Ziggler's going to beat Ray and get the title and then come with Jericho as the tag team and then basically retain the tag titles with him having the belt. And then they're going to do something where they'll lose the tag titles, but then Jericho's mad at Ziggler for having the Intercontinental title. That's kind of what I see them setting up for. I don't know that they're actually going to do that, but they change their mind three times a day on where they're going with their storylines, sometimes even halfway through a taping. So who knows where they're actually going to end up. But go to commercial, come back, and basically they go into the main event, Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler versus Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio. CM Punk comes out and sits ringside to do commentary and ends up, I think he says five words through the whole match, but very good match. This is a very good match. You talk about the main events on SmackDown have been great for months, and this is another one of those that was just, it's hard to find problems in it, except for maybe the finish, because of the way they did it, but of course they're doing it because of the pay-per-view coming up. But basically at one point it gets down to Jericho and Jeff Hardy on the outside, and Jeff Hardy throws Jericho at CM Punk. So Jeff Hardy kind of gets in CM Punk's face, turns around to walk away. CM Punk grabs Jericho and throws him into Jeff Hardy, so the ref calls for the DQ. So on the one hand, that kind of sucks that they would just kind of do that, non-finish there. But at the same time, they're setting up for the pay-per-view, so it was fine in that regards. But the match itself, everything that was going on until that point was great. So definitely a main event you're going to want to check out. Lots of good wrestling going on. So then Rey Mysterio comes out, and he gets in Punk's face. He's unhappy that Punk would interfere in their match like this. So Dolph Ziggler does the baseball slide into Rey Mysterio, knocks him out. He then hits his finisher. I forget what it's called. Jumps in the air and hooks the neck, falls him down. But it doesn't have a name yet. Just hits the move. Jericho then grabs Jeff Hardy, throws him in the ring, hits him with the code breaker, kind of smiles at CM Punk and waits for CM Punk to do something. CM Punk is not coming in the ring, so he starts to put him in the Walls of Jericho and stares at Punk, and Punk kind of... They play Punk off like this isn't what he wanted. He wants Jeff. He wants to beat up on Jeff, but at the same time, he doesn't want to start a fight with Jericho. So it's like he's kind of conflicted. He's kind of in that tweener spot. You almost expect him to do the Stone Cold thing and just go in and just destroy everybody, but instead he just kind of stares at him like he's not sure what to do, and eventually he leaves while Jericho is beating up on Hardy. So parts in the middle, definitely the tag match needed some work. Some problems in the R-Truth and Kane match, of course. John Morrison and CM Punk, they definitely, you could tell they had a script that they had to work with that they really didn't want, but for the most part, they did pretty good with it. But the show, all in all, good show, definitely one you want to check out if you're going to be home tonight, if you can set your DVR, whatever you can do. I want to, check out that main event because you're really going to like it. And I guess that does it. Wow, we actually got through a show in less than 20 minutes. So let's not jinx it, shall we? Let's go ahead and wrap things up. Once again, this is Wrestling Radio. I am your host, Dirt. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to drop us an email, join the forums, make comments, whatever you want to do, just stop by the website at vglosers.com. Also, don't forget our sister site, thatnewtoysmell.com. New episode going up later tonight. And so you definitely want to check that out. And also, we've got Dirt's daily video blogs. We've got again, the It Figures podcast with Pixel Dan. We've got the Rear Naked Radio podcast with Jay Raz and Scotty Cash. So lots of stuff for you guys to check out. Make sure you stop by and check out the site. And I will talk to you guys later.